Welcome to Late Night Net Mums with me, Annie O'Leary, editor of Net Mums.
And me, Carol Jurgensen Sheets, a psychotherapist and certified sex addiction therapist.
Together, we answer your most asked sex and relationship questions from the Net Mums Forum. Welcome to another episode of Late Night Net Mums with me, Annie O'Leary, editor of Net Mums, and my wonderful co-host across the pond, Carol Jurgensen-Sheets. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, Annie. Good to be with you.
We were just having a little chat and something you said made my ears prick up. You said something about sometimes you treat people in couples, sometimes you treat people on their own. And that sometimes that's because a couple will come to see you and then you'll realize that one or other of them might have something more to say that they'd feel more comfortable saying on their own. Now, that really, really fascinates me. Is that a common occurrence that sometimes people have things to talk about that they don't want to admit in front of their partner?
Oh, yes. It's very, very common. And actually, Annie, I should have prefaced that by saying I have a no secrets policy.
Right.
It's on my website. It's on the in the paperwork that I give them. So I may want to meet with somebody individually because professionally and intuitively, I know there's more to the story that meets the eye. And when I do find that out, my next option with them is to figure out how they can get honest with their partner so that there are no secrets in the relationship, because secrets are always a problem.
What kind of things would make you think, oh, is there something more here? What's your antennae looking for?
Well, in actuality, I am a neuro-linguistic programmer. And in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, if somebody is right-handed, I can see when they are constructing an answer as opposed to remembering what occurred and giving me that information. So part of my interviewing is also being able to assess, is the person being truthful with me? And then, of course, intuitively, I've been in this business 40 years.
You've seen it all.
Yeah, and I can smell, taste, and feel when someone is afraid to be honest. And I always know that that's fear-based. It's not meant to be intentional. They just don't know if it's safe enough to be honest about who they are.
And what do you do about that? Like, how do you not alert the other person that you think that there's something fishy going on? But also, how do you give someone bravery to be more honest in their relationship?
Well, that's exactly how I do it, Annie, is that I talk about being brave and being courageous and saying, you know, you're here to get information about your partner and to give information to your partner. And if you're holding a secret, that relationship is always going to be burdened by your lie. And so I want to help you to be more honest about who you are so that we can really work on what we need to work on. And we can't do that if you're not willing to be courageous and to be vulnerable and to be honest.
And do most people respond well to a sort of a call to action to be brave?
Yes, they absolutely do. They're ultimately here to be honest and brave, but at the same time, they're afraid. They're afraid of what will happen if they do so.
It's fascinating. Right. Let's put some of your expert wisdom. I could talk to you seriously for about 7 weeks and not have to stop recording, but let's try and tackle one of our readers' problems. This one says, last year, my husband met a girl who actually knows one of our friends. He said that she was stalking him on social media through his friend and found him on Facebook and they started talking. His iCloud is connected to my son's iPad. So I found a message from her saying she has feelings for him, but they both insisted nothing's happened. However, they've both deleted everything, so there's no proof of anything. Now, they don't speak anymore, and this was last year. He said over and over that nothing's happened, and they were just speaking. But I can't seem to get over it. No matter how much I talk about it, I get so worked up. At the time, I was pregnant and I was grieving for a friend who'd died, and he did that. How do I get over this? The word that's yelling out to me, Carol, is trust. It feels like trust's been ruined. What do you think?
Well, of course, we don't absolutely know what happened beyond what she told us. But there is at least, at minimum, an emotional fear that was going on. They were expressing feelings to each other. And that was evidence. That was seen. And then it's not unusual for people that have pushed that boundary to say they didn't do it and that that wasn't true. And they have a lot to lose. So I would really work with this woman and this man to talk about how did it happen and what can she do to feel safe again? Because now she's wondering if she can trust him. You said it when you said the word is trust. I mean, what can they do to rebuild trust?
So where do they start? He's saying one thing. She's saying, you know what? Doesn't sound good to me. What do you do? Where do you go from there?
Well, if this couple were in my office, we'd be talking about what did she see and notice that red flagged the situation. I mean, obviously the iPad gave her information, but were there other things? When I work with couples, usually the guilty party, in this case, the man, is able to say, yeah, you know, she did touch me on my thigh at that party that we had. Oh, yes, she did call me a couple of times, and we talked for long periods of time. Because the truth of the matter is, when this kind of thing occurs, it's not uncommon for the woman to start checking phone records, checking all the devices, checking with other people to figure out and put together the missing puzzle pieces. And so when that occurs, more often than not, she finds out that there's more information that she didn't know, that there was more deception than she was unaware of. And so what comes into my office as a problem usually ends up being a bigger problem when it comes to deception. And then we have to talk about how do you get over that kind of emotional betrayal? And did it get worse? Was there any physical touching? Did they kiss? Did they have sex? Because emotional intimacy almost invariably leads to physical intimacy.
Let's say they go to see a therapist like you. How can the therapist make the guy tell the truth if he's kind of so far been quite happy to say, oh yeah, nothing really happened?
You can't make somebody tell the truth if they're unwilling to do so. But what I would say is, and it's certainly what I know from working with partner betrayal, is that until she knows the truth, she won't give up. And so they will have years and years and years of her checking the phone records and the devices and all sorts
of things.
That
sounds awful.
And so when you project that and when you say, you know, I'm an expert here and I know that this is not going to be over until we have a full disclosure, and that's what we actually call the process of getting all the truth, is a therapeutic full disclosure, that typically puts to rest some of her worst fantasies, which may not have come true. You know, maybe it did stop at an emotional affair because, again, he got caught on the iPad. That is in itself a problem, but it's not as big of a problem as if they've been involved in a sexual relationship.
But maybe it is as big of a problem because it's obviously, in a way, it almost doesn't matter whether it did or didn't happen if the wife believes it might have. Do you know what I mean? Like, it almost doesn't matter if it did or it didn't. What matters is that the trust has been broken, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Absolutely. It really doesn't matter because the more important thing is that the trust has been broken. And why? What might be missing in the relationship? What might be missing in his moral compass? What could possibly be contributing to the fact that he allowed somebody else to captivate him? He allowed somebody else to be another person in his life. However, working with thousands of women who have been betrayed emotionally, physically, sexually, it really does matter how far it goes
right.
to women. It just does.
So he's got to come clean if he wants this relationship to work out. And it sounds like she's going to need some help getting him to come clean if he hasn't already. Do you think couples therapy is what this couple need?
I do, as well as I think and believe that when there's been an indiscretion of any type, you really need to work with somebody who is good at therapeutic formal disclosures, because that is a person that knows how to get the timeline, to get it accurate, and she gets to ask any questions she wants on paper, and then this therapist incorporates every one of her questions into this timeline.
Right.
And then, Annie, if she can't let go of it, the next step is to ask him if he would be willing to take a polygraph to prove that he has shared with her.
What, a lie detector test?
Yes, Annie.
Wow. Are they robust? Do they stand up to... I thought they were a bit rubbish. I didn't think they were necessarily believable of themselves, but I didn't. What do I know?
Well, there are people that can fool a lie detector test. If they're pathological and they, you know, are so good at having no conscience that they're not going to register with emotions and anxieties and feelings, those people are also not good candidates for an examination of this sort. But the truth of the matter is, if this is a woman who cannot let go of her fears, and it is haunting her every day, and he has been honest and truthful in the disclosure, because you're right, Annie, not only is she going to worry about what happened in that relationship, she's going to say, what else have you not been telling me? Who else have you been flirting with?
It means that everything's up for question then, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. So sometimes, again, after that formal therapeutic disclosure, a polygraph just puts things to rest because the average person cannot hide from that examination. And the truth of the matter is...
But this is blowing my mind. This is a bit like sort of criminalizing relationship behavior. Like part of me thinks, God, if you can't even trust your partner to tell you the truth, what's the point in having a bloody lie detector test? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. But research shows that women who have been deceived really do want to get back with their husband, and they do want to develop that trust again. So this is just another option for that kind of a woman who can't let go, who has ruminating and racing thoughts. She wakes up every day of her life wondering if her husband is going to cheat on her in the future and what she doesn't know.
Okay. Where do you even get one? Where do you go for a lie detector test? Does a therapist do it? Would you do it? Do you do it for people?
Oh, yes. I definitely have people in the United States that I can refer to polygraphers that I trust who actually just want to help bring out the truth. They're not wanting to incriminate or make somebody feel criminal.
Right.
And one of the organizations in the UK that does a really good job helping to sort out infidelity and deception is the Naked Truth Project. And
yes, I've heard you talk about them before. Right. Tell us about them.
Well, they are an organization that provides counseling, therapy, group support for people that have been through this. And they also know how to do therapeutic formal disclosures. So they can help a couple if there's been a whole history of infidelity, or if there's somebody who is haunted by their partner's past and can't get beyond it and just doesn't really feel like she's gotten the full truth. You know, whenever there's infidelity, two things can happen to the spouse.
Yeah.
One is that she becomes very paranoid and doesn't believe anything he says, and that's her way of protecting herself. Or two, she has good gut and she knows she doesn't have the truth, which means she needs to know the truth so that she can decide if she wants to rebuild the relationship. And so the Naked Truth Project has been trained specifically on how to help people when deception has occurred in their life.
Okay, let's say this couple go for help. They do this disclosure thing and then they have the lie detector test. What the devil happens if he's found to be lying?
Well, that's a whole nother show. Because that means that she needs to set some boundaries and consequences that help her to feel safe. And she needs to let him know what she's willing to tolerate in their relationship. And that's probably some intense individual therapy for her to decide, what is she going to do? Does she need a break from this relationship? Do they need a therapeutic separation? Because I'll tell you what, women don't want, nor will they put up with infidelity in their relationship.
No. Oof. Okay, so this couple, if you're listening, please go and get some help. There is help out there. There is help in the UK. There is help for both of you. But yeah, it's all about trust and honesty, isn't it, Carol?
Yes, that's where we start. That is absolutely where we start.
Okay, go and get those building blocks, people. Right, on to the next question. Sorry for being so personal, but I worry my partner doesn't find me attractive anymore. However, just recently, he's initiated lots of sex and can always perform in the bedroom. So my question is, if your partner was no longer attracted to you or fancied you, would that lead to performance problems in the bedroom department? Carol, this is a great question. Can a guy just turn it on for anyone? Or do you think this user is being paranoid?
Well, let's take a look at this for a second. She's worried that her partner doesn't find her attractive anymore.
Yeah, she says that he can still initiate lots of sex and can always perform in the bedroom. So I think what she's saying is, could he do that and still not fancy me?
You know, Annie, that's an interesting question, and I would have to know more information, because when I read this, he just recently has initiated lots of sex, and at the same time, she's worried that he's not attracted to her fancies her.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why she's worried about that.
Yeah, you always spot the issue between the lines, Carol, don't you? Well done. I hadn't spotted that. So do you think there's something going on?
Well, I'm not sure. First of all, she says, I worry that my partner doesn't find me attractive anymore. So I'm going to say, well, what's the evidence that he doesn't feel attracted to you? And then she says, just recently, he has initiated lots of sex and can always perform in the bedroom. Do you think that that has changed for her?
It sounds like they're having more sex than they were. But then you would think that would make her feel more attractive, not less, wouldn't you?
Right. And so I almost wonder if she meant just the opposite of that. When I read that before, I thought, what is making her feel like he's no longer attracted? And it is true. Let's say that was a typo, and let's say that she was really used to him being very, very attracted to her and having great sex and initiating sex, and he's no longer doing that. And so she wonders, is there something going on with her? Is he no longer attracted to her? Does he not want her in bed? And this person has not talked about the fact that she hasn't gotten that clarification from him. She doesn't know where his head is at. She's making things up. In treatment, in therapy, we oftentimes say, now, when you have that thought, do you have evidence that would suggest that? And let's say she would say, well, yeah, we're not having as much sex and he's not able to orgasm and he gets limp. And so he must not be attracted to me. And then I would have her repeat that. And I would say, would you please put either one of two statements? And they are, the message I make up is that you're no longer attracted to me. Or I make up that you must not be attracted to me. Because that's the truth. She's making an assumption about
his sexual activity being connected to he's no longer attracted. Now, that's not what she said in this blog. The blog says that she's wondering if he's attracted to her because he's having more sex and performing in the bedroom. And I just don't think that's what she meant. And so I want to help this woman to understand that, you know, there may be things going on in their lives and he's not as attracted as he used to be. I would want to ask her, well, has anything changed about you? You know, are you older? Have you gained weight? Have you lost weight? Have you just had children? Has your body changed? Hormonally, are you as fluid, and I do mean with lubrication, as you used to be? I mean, I would be asking for the details to find out what she feels about herself. And regardless if those were his feelings or not, I'd want to help her with those feelings. You know, many of our net moms are the mothers of young children, and bodies do change after babies. And certainly they can resume back to normal body types, but it probably for most women is never going to go back to the way they were. The body was built to be able to expand and contract, depend on what's needed. And I talk to a lot of young mothers who just don't feel like they have the body they once had, and therefore they're not as attractive as they used to be. And it leaves them wondering what he must think about them. Have you seen that much in the community, Annie?
Yes, people talk about this all the time. I guess my question for you would be, is this something she should raise with him? How honest can you expect someone to be? He probably, even if he wasn't as attracted to her as he once was, wouldn't want to say that out loud in case it hurt her feelings.
Well, I would love to believe that, but I actually find that the opposite is true.
Oh.
Now, again, I work with a distorted population because I work with people that are coming in and admitting that there are problems, but men are not typically diplomatic about how they feel and what they think. And so many a woman has come in after they've had children and said my breasts are sagging. And I am so mad about that. Of course they're sagging. They've just contained gallons and gallons and gallons of milk, you know.
Yeah.
Or many women, after being told things like that, end up in divorce. And the first thing they do is get a breast uplift so that they can feel better about their bodies based on what he said to her.
Right.
So to answer your question, I find the opposite is true, that men don't know how to be diplomatic. They don't know how to use the sandwich approach, which might look like, I love you so much, and I am so blessed that we had these kids together. Okay, that's the top bun.
Right, good.
And I have to say that right now, I'm not feeling as sexual for you as I have in the past because I keep having images of what it was like when you birthed our child. And that's getting in the way of our sexual arousal. Okay, that's the second part and the meat of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part would be, but I want you to know that I know you and I have such a solid relationship. If you'll just let me kind of struggle with this for a little while, because I know it's my issue, we will get back to having a great sex life again once I get past seeing you as the birther of our baby as opposed to the sexual being that I know you are.
Oh, but Carol, right? If my husband said that to me, A, I'd be devastated, and B, I might actually kill him.
Okay. Okay. So you believe in the approach of... You don't have to share everything with your wife or a husband. Keep it to yourself and deal with it on your own.
Is that bad, though? Is that really unhealthy?
It depends on what he's keeping to himself and what he's trying to deal with on his own. Because, you know, men are not going to go into the locker room or into work and say...
And ask their friend to sort it out for them. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they're not going to talk about the most beautiful experience in the world, birthing a baby, and say, I just can't connect her to the sexual vessel I used to think she was. They're just not going to talk about it. So they're going to keep it locked up inside. Mm.
But if a husband says that to a man says that to a woman, how is the woman supposed to deal with that? Like, that would be devastating to her.
I don't know that it should feel devastating. Ooh, I believe that it might hurt. It might sting. It might be concerning. But a woman with good emotional maturity, and let's face it, women typically do have better emotional maturity, but they are hormonal after having kids.
Yeah.
What I would want them to say is, you know, thanks for sharing that. I could already tell that something was wrong. I wondered what it is. Do you think we need to go get some help for that? And they wouldn't take it personally.
Okay.
They'd know that it is just a fact. It's a fact for some men.
Okay, so what would the help be that they got with that?
That they talk to their counselor. They talk to their birthing coach and got some good referral sources. You know, there are lots of men that don't want to have sex with a pregnant woman because they're no longer vessels for sexuality. They are birthing a baby, and they're afraid that they're going to hurt the baby if they insert their penis into a woman's vagina. I mean, when it comes to making babies and having babies and recouping from that, both parties go through a lot of insecurity and confusion about how they feel. I think we have to normalize that. I don't think we should be devastated from it.
Okay. This is fascinating. But back to this person's basic question. She says, if your partner was no longer attracted to you or fancied you, would that lead to performance problems in the bedroom department? He's saying he doesn't have any performance problems. And I think what she wants to know is, does that mean he still fancies me?
She says, if your partner is no longer attracted to you or fancies you, would that lead to performance problems in the bedroom department? And I believe that it very well could.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm going to say something that many men do to combat that, which is not healthy.
Okay.
And that is they then fantasize about other women that they are attracted to or other images that they've seen on the internet.
Oh, no.
And that's never good either. So I would be talking to this woman and I would be saying, are you absolutely sure? Do you absolutely know that his performance problems are associated to the fact that he's no longer attracted to you? And if she says, well, that's what I think, I would say, no, I'm asking, are you positive? Do you know that to be true? And I would get her to really question her thoughts and beliefs. And then we would entertain what else could be going on for him. And then I would say, why don't you have him come in and let's talk about this? Because it sounds like you believe it's affecting him and I believe it's affecting you. So it really is a relationship issue that we need to talk about.
Okay, well, that's very wise advice. That's all for this episode. Thanks for joining us. Remember, to get help and support from others like you on sex and relationship issues, please post in the Sex and Relationships board in the NetMums forum. To submit a question specifically for consideration on this podcast, head to the board marked Late Night NetMums in the NetMums forum. Everything said on this podcast is the opinion of the hosts and is for information and education purposes only. This podcast should not be considered as therapy or a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out expert guidance from a mental health or relationships professional to assist you with your own specific issues.